morning, everyone, and welcome to our service at Emmanuel this morning. If you are a visitor, please make yourself known to the minister or one of the stewards at the end of the service. Welcome also to those who will be joining us later in the week by listening to the recording of the service. So I regret that, contrary to the note in the weekly newsletter, there will not be any tea or coffee after this morning's service. So this morning, Eddie Thomas will be reading the Old Testament verses, and I, Helen Marson, will read the New Testament verses. And now, as I light the Christ candle, let us have a few moments of reflection.
Good morning, all of you, and welcome to our service today. We gather knowing that we here and God's people everywhere, with different languages, with different music, but with the same spirit, join to celebrate the God who has chosen to be close to God's people. Psalm 66 says, "Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great power, your enemies cringe before you. All the earth worships you. They sing praises to you." Sing praises to your name. And we will be singing. And we will be reflecting, and we will be praying. May all we do this time we are together and this day be a time of celebration and praising God. Amen. From Rejoice and Sing, our four hymns today are from Rejoice and Sing. The first one is, "Come, let us join our cheerful songs. It's hymn 382.
Come, let us join our joyful song.
Please be seated. At this time of the service, we have for quite some time now been lighting the peace candle. When I light it today, it'll be closer than it has been for a long time. Let me explain. Some of you probably know that Peter and Liz Gibney have been hosting a brother and sister from Ukraine in their home for some months now. They're missing home terribly. They're finding it very difficult. The brother is trying to continue his studies online. His sister, about 27, Alona. This week she heard that her fiancé was killed in battle. A part of the Ukrainian troops facing what's going on at this time. And sadly, when some of us received the email and when we heard about it at Thursday at the prayer meeting, we suddenly realized that this wasn't something we were doing only for the far away, which we are. Definitely we are. But it was touching a family, members of our congregation who are hosting people who have left but need to feel that they want to go back because their family is there. And it's caught in that tense situation. So when we light the peace candle today, please don't think of it as far away. There is a family, brother and sister, very close here in Old Town, who, I'm not saying they're the only ones, they're the ones we know, who are crying because of the death in action of a young man. The peace candle needs to be lit more than ever. Let us pray. The world is in turmoil in our own country and in so many different parts of the world. People are struggling, people are facing despair, people live in fear. Dear God, that's not what you looked at and said, "This is good. It's well done." So to start off this morning, we want to hold on to that which you declared good, that which was beautiful, that which was generous, that was plentiful. A world in which there was enough for every creature to live fullness of life. A world where there was beauty and kindness and hope, where there was no fear, where there was singing and dancing, where talents were shared, and we helped each other, where there wasn't suspicion and there wasn't hatred. Dear God, you call that a good world, and we celebrate that. And we know that many of those elements are still around for the changing of the seasons and the beauty of the colors, for the generosity of the land in the harvest, for helping others, for kindness and beauty. Yes, dear God, we celebrate that. And we thank you that we can be part of it. For the times we laugh together, and for the times where we silently can sit with another, we thank you for that. We thank you that you have called us your children, and that you have entrusted us the care of your creation. We thank you for that. And yet, dear God, there is death, there is destruction, there is hatred. Help us not to hear that so often that we think it's just what happens. Help us not to normalize those horrible things. There is the threat of use of atomic weapons, nuclear weapons. Help us not to believe that that is the answer. Loving and caring God, the world struggles. There is a lot to be done and a lot that is being done. We pray that as churches we may speak your word of truth, bringing light where there is darkness. That together with all those people in the world who join arms in solidarity, we may let people know that there is a better and different way of doing things. Where there is pride and prejudice and there is selfishness, O Lord, help us to do things differently. Help us to see with your eyes. Help our hearts join together in the beating for fullness of life, where all tears may be shared, may be dried. May the embrace of your children coming together be part of what we do. May the candles we light not just be a symbolic act at one time in our life, but be the sign that we believe that your will is what we should follow. So we turn to you, forgive us our mistakes, forgive us our sin. Heal us, restore us, and make us new, so that as your children, we can truly, slowly, and deeply, profound, believe the words we say that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, Christ for the World We Sing, the World to Christ We Bring. Hymn 599.
The first reading is from the Old Testament. It's Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 and then 4 to 9. And you'll find that on page 742 in the Old Testament section of the Bible. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders amongst the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there, and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets and the diviners who are amongst you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, said the Lord.
So our second reading is from the New Testament, and it can be found on page 209 of the New Testament section of the Pew Bibles, and it's the second letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 8 to 13. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, Helen, for leading us in the readings. And the choir will sing now, Jubilate, O Be Joyful in the Lord, by Sir George Thelben Ball. That sounded really good, thank you. I'm not surprised, eh? I'm grateful. May the words of my mouth and the reflection of each of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You've probably all heard the phrase, when life throws lemons at you, what do? You make lemonade. Or sell the lemons. When life throws lemons at you, what do? Some people say make lemonade. Some say sell the lemons. Now, do you see, that all depends. Are you the only one that's getting the lemons thrown at you? Then start wondering why. That would probably be a good question. Second, is it a disease in the neighborhood? Then lemonade, if everybody's going to do lemonade, it doesn't seem a good solution. Anyway, how much lemonade can anybody drink at one go? But negative situations happen. So is making lemonade an answer? It might be. It might be a good resource if nobody else is doing it. In the Bible, there are very many, 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 many moments when God's answer to prayer is not what we expect. It looks like our prayer and God's answer have gone in totally different directions. How many of you have said at one time or another, were you really listening? Because I see no connection between this and what I've just said. Sometimes it takes a long time, and we dealt with that a few weeks ago. But it's not only us. Think of Jesus out in the garden after the Last Supper with his disciples. His desperate prayer. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. That didn't happen. He did add, but not your will, but mine. Not my will, but yours. Sorry, that was a Freudian slip if there ever was one. Not my will, but yours be done. We often add that. Do we really believe it? Okay, do your will. You know better than I do. You can see the bigger picture. We probably do use the words, how deep down are they? Do we truly believe that that make a difference? Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. That incident in Jesus' life is not too different from what Jeremiah has told us this morning. We've all turned to God, seeking ways through hard times, waiting, and sometimes the answer is quite the opposite to what we'd expect. The reading today, the Babylonian king has taken the people of God into exile. And what they expect are instructions to get ready because soon, they will be going back home. That's what they hope for. That's what their prayer is. What do they hear through the prophet? Build houses, plant plants. Marry and have descendants. If you follow the reading, it's talking about three generations, more or less. And then add, your prosperity is connected to the prosperity of the place where you have been taken. You must be joking. That's not the answer to the prayer. That's not what we need. We want something quite different, dear God. We need you to tell us, these people are horrible. These people are cruel. These people are the worst of the worst. We want you to tell us that as soon as we've walked out of their walls, you are going to obliterate them, delete them from history. You will wreck their land. It will no longer be prosperous. You will set us free. I mean, what's this of building houses and living in them, planting crops, getting married and having grandchildren? How long are we going to be here for? Yeah, I know you say, dear God, we will always be your people. That's good. Thanks. Thanks for remembering that. But we're in Babylon. Just to give you an idea, when the book of Revelation is written, Babylon is the example of the enemy. It carries right on into the last book of our New Testament. They can't speak about Rome. Rome doesn't like being criticized, like any empire. So they talk about Babylon, the long-lost empire. But it remained in their mind as the symbol of the greatest whore, that which represented the opposite of God, Babylon. And that's where they were now. And God is telling them to stay there for three generations. Okay, just at the end of the reading, there was a word of warning. Careful. Careful with those who come with false prophecy. Careful with those who speak what you would like to hear, but is not what I have said. Careful. Discern what is the truth. That challenge continues to be the challenge for God's people today. Not what you would like to hear, but what God is saying. How do we discern our inner longings? Destroy them. They're horrible people. You're going to stay here for quite a time. The people of God will be in this foreign land for a long time. And whatever we say about Babylon, you go to the British Museum and you see so much of what Babylon represented. It was a cultural, political, religious center of the world. Okay, it wasn't Israel. It wasn't Judah. But they were an important place to be. But God says to them, all the time you are there in that Babylon you hate so much, I will be there with you. God is inviting the people, even in the foreign land, even in everything that they resent in life, to trust that God is calling them, that they will thrive, even when their thriving seems a contradiction. The logic would be, let's undermine them. Let them stop being a world power, and then we can go home. But the words of Jeremiah are very clear. Your prosperity depends on their prosperity. And that sounds as bonkers can be. Let's have a look, quick look at what we find in the second letter to Timothy. The good news is sometimes tough news. And that is what the author, as the title says, the second letter of Paul to Timothy, reminds Timothy that the risen Christ is the good news. But we should never, ever forget that the risen Christ is the Christ with the marks in his hand and his feet and his side. There is no risen Christ without the murdered Christ. That, we can never forget that. There is no Resurrection Sunday without Crucifixion Friday. God doesn't jump those. And cruel as it may seem, that's how it happens. The resurrected will always have the marks of the cross. And that's how Jesus, in God's plan, made it quite clear how he was to identify with the people, with God's people, the suffering people. His crucifixion is the expression of God's solidarity with all those who suffer. It didn't say suffering will disappear. It says you are not alone in your suffering. And Paul says this is the connection. That is such good news that I am willing to be chained and suffer for that good news. It's the good news that what we go through, what we experience, what happens to us, is not indifferent to God. That is the deep connection. That is the word of hope for this world at this time. Yes, Alona's fiancé was murdered on the front, as many others. Many families crying. But that's not the end of the truth. It is part of the truth. The other part of the truth includes people like Liz and Pete, who welcomed people and gave them hope when everything was crumbling. The reality of the world is such that the big boxes we had last Sunday, full of material for our harvest service, will make a difference in the lives of some people who probably wake up day after day after day wondering what comes next. Will there be a next? And the things we put in a bag and bring to the front as we did last Sunday may seem very little to us. But it's a way of saying what the readings say today. In the struggle and loneliness of the people, when things are far from what seem to be what your prayers are, God is there. There's that very famous scene in a concentration camp towards the end of the war. And all the prisoners are in formation watching the torture and murder of another prisoner. And suddenly, from nowhere, because nobody knows who said it, the voice that says, "Where is God in all this?" And the same area of the prison camp, another voice says out loud, "God is there being tortured at this moment." That's what made the difference. That God wasn't the different, indifferent, far away. He has the marks on his hands, his side, and his feet. So then, what are we hoping for? What is our faith all about? Is it a life free from all that upsets us? That is a good prayer. But there will be things that upset us. We do not expect in this day and age to die for our faith, but in many parts of the world, people are dying for their faith. It is in Christ's resurrection that we find the sense of hope that will nurture us, feed us, and lead us on. You've heard me say before, and I usually say it on Good Friday, but it comes in today. There's a tribe just north of South America, just between South America and Central America. Their Easter finishes on Good Friday. Because nothing ever that they experienced after Good Friday showed them that there was a resurrection. The people that brought the faith to them exploited them, tortured them, made them go down into the mines. That was not life. There was no resurrection. And still today, Easter ends with the cross, not with the empty tomb. Yet, our faith is based on the resurrection. As Paul says, it's the resurrected Christ that gives me my hope. It's the resurrection which I proclaim. But in those things that do happen, we can find a way forward. Paul says towards the end of the reading, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Even in the darkest places, even in our denial of God's values, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. This week, reading fresh from the Word, on Wednesday, as a matter of fact, the reading was that of the judgment of Solomon, the two mothers bringing their child, a dead one and an alive. Who does it belong to? You know the story. Cut him in half and give it to her. No, says one. No, give it to her. One statement jumped out of the reflection, where Solomon faced with the two women. Solomon's judgment, showing that even when God is the God of justice, he is also the God of compassion. And when God's people cry out, compassion will always trump the law. That is what we learn in Jesus Christ. In our crying out, compassion will trump the law. This is the Sunday, those of you who are here on the Jubilee Day, when Ruth said, the readings are from two Sundays away, today. Her preaching of the curing of the lepers would have been the readings for today. Those of you who were here probably would still remember it, so it is a risk to take her words and preach them again, because you would know who'd done them. But that story of the lepers, of the 10 lepers being cured, and only one coming back, Jesus doesn't say to the other 9, may your leprosy return. He doesn't. He says to one, your faith has cured you. Compassion trumps the law. And this is where we live. When God's people cry out, God hears. He may be cross, but he will march with them to exile. They may have questions. God says, I cannot deny myself. Our connection with Christ, in the words of Paul, is with each other, with God, with the world. Life could be different. It doesn't often work that way. But God leads us and calls us as his children. Wherever there are exiled people, in a place they are living which is not their choice, a place that we would have rather avoided, and where we are told, work for the good of this place, you'll be here sometime, God is there as well. God never disowned his people. He got cross, he got upset, he got disappointed, but God never, never left his people alone. And it is on that belief that we live. It is on that we thrive. It is on that we become chassid. Yes, I may be away from you, dear God. I may have done things that haven't been the best. I know. You know. And God will say, I'm here. Let's keep talking. And I think that life with God close to us, always bearing the marks of the cross, is probably the most wonderful gift that faith has ever given us. Even if it's not where or how we had hoped it to be, the resurrected Christ is never far from his people. Thanks be to God. Amen. The next hymn, hymn 559, this is one of the hymns that was sung 50 years and 4 days ago when the United Reformed Church had its service to mark the beginning. We will omit verse 1, so we'll pick up from Christ is made the sure foundation, Christ the head and cornerstone. This is a hymn that the URC chose to sort of set out, this is what we believe. 50 years later, I hope it comes close to what we would like to say as well. I don't know if you realized when you were singing it just now, but in verse 3, it makes a reference to the anthem that the choir sang a few moments ago in exultant jubilation. And they sang, "O be joyful in the Lord, jubilate." So there are no coincidences, everything is carefully planned. The resurrected Christ has the marks of suffering. And this has allowed the people over the centuries to find that their marks are connected to his marks, that their tears are connected to his tears, that they aren't alone. Sometimes not being alone seems very lonely. Sometimes it is what brings hope for another day. And the world this week has seen many suffering, many lonely, many crying, but wherever they are, Christ is with them. Let us join in our prayers of intercession. Lord, suffering is not good, not that you want it for us. It happens. It happens sometimes because some powers of the world want it to happen. It happens because the world is still a living, vibrant reality and there are things that do happen. Sometimes we create situations that respond. The earth is in turmoil. Earthquakes, forest fires, droughts, but also the seas being contaminated as well as the air. Sewage being thrown into the rivers, those aren't accidents. We pray, O Lord, for creation and for its calling out, and for those that hear that call and remind us of the brokenness that is around. We pray for the families in Thailand, where in that infant school so many children were murdered, for their tears, for the inexplicable loss that they may find in you, the shared scars and the love that embraces. For the war fronts in the world where lives are destroyed. And behind each life, there are loved ones who cry. For people in hospital, recovering, struggling, in need of care and love. And those who are with them. Families and friends, and nurses and doctors and carers, those who will hold their hand, those who will speak to them even when there is no response. For those who pray insistently, knowing that you are in the midst of all those troubles, wanting your light to shine. We pray for the Southwest Synod as it will meet for the Synod meeting next Saturday. We pray for the Old Town Partnership of Churches as we celebrate your love and do it together. We pray for those we love and care for, those we commend to your care, those that are far away and we'd love to see more often, and for those that we carry in our heart that we can present to you in this silence. For those that make life less chaotic or less complicated, even when they can't change what is going on. For those that phone somebody and break their isolation. For those that train comfort dogs and guide dogs. For those, O Lord, who feel that there is very little they can do, but end up doing the utmost of what is possible. for our own lives, for what we can do and what we should not do. All this we put into your hands and transform everything so that it may be to the honor and glory of your kingdom, that we may be part of the earth that worships you, singing praises to you, singing praises to your name. To you be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now we share the offering, what we have been able to set apart to give to God at this time. Lord, what's in the plate, what we give of our time, of our talents, the ways we can help the harvest appeal, all we present to you. O Lord, bless those who have to decide how it is used, and bless our lives to proclaim your will. Amen. And we share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Our final hymn before closing the service. It's hymn 579, Lord, Thy Church on Earth is Seeking Thy Renewal from Above. Teach us all the art of speaking with the accent of Thy love. May the God that has always walked with God's people walk with us, with those we love, and with the whole world, this day and forevermore. May the roads of life lead us to the values of the kingdom, and may we trust that we are never alone. The blessing of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, be with you and all this world, now and forevermore. Amen.